The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels. Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Paridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Honored to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy, blessed day, O happy, blessed place, O happy, blessed time, O happy, blessed path, O happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here and suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I seem to be kind of identified. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, it's a very familiar place, kind of fuzzy, foggy.
Mm-hmm.
And all I need to do is just be with the fuzz and the fog.
Yep. So it feels really familiar, kind of fuzzy, foggy, and what you know to do is to just be with it.
Yeah. Today is the last day of the 30-day retreat in the back of Making a Change for Good. Uh-huh. And I think the instructions are something like, there's a list of things that you could do. And I think first on the list is do a kindness for yourself every day.
Mm.
And so I think it's a kindness to just be with the fuzz and the fog.
Yeah.
Because what triggers is all this kind of judgment and comparison and shoulds and should nots and blame, guilt.
Mm-hmm. Those are all the conditioned things that get laid over on top of it.
Yeah.
So there's kind of this fuzz and fog, and where conditioning wants to go with that is blame and shame and guilt and should be different and no, not this, and that it feels like a kindness is just to be with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really appreciated in this last email class was, as you're saying that, a number of responses that I can remember where people acknowledge what's going on and they're practicing with it. And I just hear such support from the guide around that. You know, I mean, there's tons of responses where people are just right there and they're in gratitude and they're open and they're joyful. And then there are ones where something's going on for someone and that they're with that. And I just get this tremendous sense of it's fabulous when we just drop into that place of joy and gratitude and bliss, and who doesn't want to be there, right? But it isn't always what's going on in the moment. And it feels like the place of being free and truly expanded is to be able to contain all of what goes on, including when we're in a place where conditioning says, well, that's not the good part. That's not the part I want. Or even, for me, it can even more be, that's not the part I should be having. Because when there is that place that I project you're describing of kindness and acceptance of it, there's actually no problem with it. There can be actually kind of a joy in realizing, well, so what? If there's, you know, foggy and fuzzy, that's all right.
Yeah, as you say that, I'm pretty aware there is work to be done. I'm not exactly okay with that. There's no kind of full acceptance. It's still pretty. There's just a believable story running, and I feel it in my body.
A believable story running. Yeah, go
ahead. That I should be different. I'm doing things wrong.
Yeah.
Or blah blah blah. All very familiar and stream of this is wrong, you shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Pretty steady stream. And so, okay, here we go. Two tracks. Here's how you should be. Here's how you are, here's how you should be. The implication is, if you go with this how you should be stream, then this other stream will quit.
Right.
And you will feel better and you will be the person that you want to be if you go with this stream. The catch is, that's a whole big lie.
Precisely.
And say, okay, here's how it can get me. The stream that says here is how you should be, here is what will get you what you want, has elements of truth in it. But the trick is, being in that stream is a way to not do those things.
That's right. That's exactly right. You just, every element is in there. So, yes, that's, especially for people who are practicing at the level you're practicing, it has to put something that is, it has to use something that's authentic and then tweak it.
Yeah.
It puts it over here in the should track.
Yeah.
So that it seems like, well, yeah, that's kind of true. But the thing is, what you're catching on to is that it doesn't actually want even to lead to those things.
Right. If it did, it would.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so there are the two tracks. The one track is what is. The other track is seeking. Is trying, is dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Is trying to. Is.
Yeah.
Should be different. Is. And it can, you know, ego loves to put words over here on this track like peace and directing attention and, right?
Yeah, talk's a really good game.
Yeah, exactly. But the track is change. Got to be different. Self-improvement. That's the process. What we practice is what we have. So the one track is what is, and the other track is got to be different.
Yeah. And the gotta be different track has co-opted, I think, what Sherry wrote to someone in the last email class. Something like, if you want the benefits of practice, do the practice.
Yeah.
And so it's got that, and it's using, it's just feeding me.
Yeah. And the irony is, when you're on the what is track, and when you're in that, that it drops in that kindness is just being with the fuzz and the fog, you are doing the practice.
But it can't let me know that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's got to grandpa.
Yeah. And it's got to do the shell game.
Yeah.
It switches them, yeah. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Just whatever horse trots by it.
Exactly. And it's why group is so dangerous for it. And why we always talk about, you know, the ultimate that of ego's coup is to get us to keep our mouth shut when we're in a place like that. Because we can't check it out. All those assumptions. That's why not to assume is so huge. All those assumptions stay completely intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a big campaign not to talk this morning. Mm-hmm.
I had the most fun experience recently where I was listening to some recordings on Shuffle, and this one came up where this person, you know, this Jen person was just, and this and that, and, you know, but just really letting, you know, whatever it was, just saying it and saying, oh God, this is going to be a terrible recording to listen back to, and then kind of moving through it and seeing this and seeing that, and, you know, it's amazing that there could be this level of identification, and I just laughed as I was listening to it because I didn't project identification onto that person as I was listening to it. I loved listening to it. To me, it was a person who was just authentically saying what was going on and just sticking with it and moving through it and seeing this thing on the other side. And she even says on the recording, gosh, I'm going to have to, every time I listen back to this, I'm going to have to get through those first 12 minutes to get to this good stuff at the end. I loved the first 12 minutes. And it reminds me, like, just like that, you know, how do we know we're identified? Maybe we're not. Maybe we're just practicing what is.
Thank you.
Cameron.
That was really good and timely. I woke up this morning feeling like I was waking up from a nightmare. I realized I was remembering my life, not a nightmare. been in what I would have to say is a similar situation. Just felt like having a meltdown. Just a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
I is having a meltdown.
I is having a meltdown.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because the human is in the graduate course of saying yes to life.
The PhD track.
Oh, yeah, at least. Getting really close to, you know, sealing the deal kind of thing, you know, like the door closes behind him.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just saw the door and it was, you know. And the story that has, I can see the karmic story that has led a good portion of the dissatisfaction of this human's life is this sense of being pushed by expectations, perceived expectations, and perceived deadlines and things like that. That so there's a belief that this person needs to have not so much going on in her life in order to be able to. And recently she cut back on her activities and had an experience that she wasn't really familiar with, which was when she got interested in something, she would pursue it.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I mean, never before. She couldn't ever do it. She thought she could never do that because she had this. Then the weekend comes and you're supposed to have time and then do all the stuff you have to do to keep your life going, you know.
Yeah.
So here was this experience of just being, oh, wow, that's interesting, and then, you know, go pursuing it and getting it. And it was just so delightful. And so now there's this this coveting that experience and being able to do that and this perception that saying yes to this thing is the end of it all, I'm going to be pushed through the rest of my life to my grave. And that's what the meltdown was. I was saying, I can, because I had seen that there was so much potential for just getting beyond that whole karma in saying yes and proving that that's not so, proving that there's a way to do it without feeling that. And so there was an excitement behind that. And then ego got into it because there's a choice I'm, you know, choosing to make, and I haven't done it yet. I mean, I haven't signed the paper or whatever. And so then the other side just went ballistic. And it was a meltdown because the whole framework inside of me shifted to what I was going to lose, what I am going to lose of this life that I finally, the gift that I finally allowed this human to be able to just kind of pursue things and get excited about things. And no, that's, you know, so then I'm, I feel like I'm sitting on this itch. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And kind of being really, feel like a meltdown.
And it sounds like quite clear that it's conditioning's meltdown.
Yes.
That you're kind of watching. And it's such a classic, at least the way you describe it, it sounds to me like such a classic example of experiencing a process and then again the shell game without seeing it. Conditioning has swapped it for content. So that there's a an experience of, I don't know how you would describe that process, but an expansiveness, an openness, a new experience for you. You hadn't had that experience before of like, wow, just kind of pursuing the thing as they come along, you say yes, and you know, this experience of the yes, graduate course really expands. And then conditioning comes in to swap it for the content, to say,
for the karma.
The reason you're having that experience is that you have a certain set of circumstances in your life. Now you have to protect those circumstances. And so it's done, so we can guess that that sort of process of, again, I don't know what words you would use for it, but control or, you know, setting things up in a certain way or whatever has been the track that the human has been put on for so many years. For a period of time was outside of that, not under that, you know, strong thumb of conditioning, under that control. Then it gets, what gets set up is, oh, well, that's because you have these certain circumstances in your life. Let's put those, you know, cement those in place there. Now we're back on the process of control.
And what's been happening since that kind of place where there was that openness to pursue things and everything, gradually, I've been saying yes to bringing more things into that. So now it's already feeling really full. So saying another yes feels like what the conditioning is saying. You're going to ruin it. It's going to just take it right over the top, and you're going to be crazy. Oh, I mean, already there's a lot of things in my life that I just am not taking care of in the way I used to. You know, like doing. Well, anyway, I won't get the contents, but, you know, just a lot of things that I just don't do anymore that I used to do. That
Boy, and it just, from what you're describing, it requires such a level of commitment to being right here, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I wasn't yesterday, and I could see that's what happened was, you said I was watching it, and in a way, I, at first I didn't really even know it was conditioning. I was thinking I kind of came to my senses. You know, and this is crazy. I can't do this. It's just too much, you know. And so that went on for a while. But then I started getting it, you know. And then I was kind of watching, but I was feeling it. I mean, it was so totally taken over my body that I could tell it was conditioning, but I had no idea. It still seemed true that that was a crazy idea, you know. So, but something happened. I woke up feeling like I'd been in a nightmare, and then I realized, oh, that was, and I feel kind of some distance from it this morning.
Just feels like it requires that, you know, spirit of inquiry is the phrase we use for it. Just that place of like, all right, if there's nothing wrong, and it's all a gift. There's nothing wrong, and it's all a gift for me. And there's no right, and there's no wrong. There's no good, there's no bad. There's no should. Right? Because that takes us out of like, is this the right thing for me to do or the wrong thing for me to do? Is this good, is this bad? Is this going to lead me in the right direction or the wrong direction? Is this going to, but just that, I mean, that's what I meant when I said it takes that kind of constantly just being here because, okay, so there are all the yeses, right? And then you notice there's this thing of like, well, not attending to things in the way that you used to be able to. Mm-hmm. So to really be fine-tuning and paying attention, you know, so, I mean, I don't know what the content is, but if the falling away is, you know, I don't exercise anymore. Because that doesn't really seem like a place life would lead us, to not caring for the body. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just kind of that compass place of, it seems, in my experience, life really wants to care for the body. And it doesn't want to push. And life is never urgent. And so if that's so, then what?
Yeah, urgent is how it feels. And as you're saying that, and you're doing this, it feels like, and paying attention to what you're doing, what I'm getting is to keep the attention on the process rather than the content, because that, you know, I can feel the urgency. And the content, a lot of times, I can't really sort it out because it feels like, well, I have to do this, and there is a deadline, and I have these other things too, so how do I get it all done? It doesn't seem possible. But if I'm on the process, then I can just stop looking at the time and do one thing and then do the next. If it doesn't get done, oh well.
Yeah, exactly. Because what we know is it isn't that, well, there isn't enough time. That's just how it is. That can't be true.
I know. That just never turns out to be
true.
It's a big lie, but it's so believable by this person.
Exactly. Yeah. For so many of us, you know, that's the belief that runs the show.
Yeah.
But again, from that place of, okay, what the things that need to get done always get done. Again, the proof is that we're sitting here in this room just fine.
Yeah.
You know, so again, that spirit of inquiry with it, you know, and that, to me, it's that place of when you had that image earlier when you were talking of the door closing behind you, you know, that, is it Pema Chodron's, the wisdom of no escape?
No escape, yeah, that is.
And that place of, because I've been watching a similar process for myself where it feels like the condition process is, let me just get things taken care of to where I can be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like once and for all, or getting on top of it, or getting comfortable, or, you know, that idealized place where I'm going to have made the right decision and it's all going to be okay now. And to get it, that's ego pushing for unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And that wisdom of no escape place is that we're always going to be, we could say, required to be here.
That's the no escape is the requirement to be here
always.
And that comfort level, I think, is a place of, once I get everything handled in a way that feels like I've got it, then I can snooze. I can put on a video or kick up my feet.
And the thing to get, at least for me, that's so clear to really, really get, this is such a good thing to report, to remind ourselves, but that quote, comfort, is ego getting the life.
Oh, absolutely.
And the place of being required to always be here, that we expand to where that's actually comfortable.
Yeah.
The incredibly, like, joyful, alive place that we can live, and that we can't go unconscious there. And what ego so wants us to do is to, like, make a big decision like you're talking about, and even, like, push the human to make it, and then trigger unconsciousness.
Oh, yeah. And then, because then that'll prove that.
Exactly. That's where it's going to get you.
Yeah.
So it's like, talks you into that room, closes the door of wisdom of no escape, talks you into unconsciousness, gotcha, trapped.
Yeah,
and then, that's why what's required is to stay here. Like Sherry said a while back, we can never indulge it.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Yep, because as soon as you do, it slams that door behind you and takes away your consciousness.
And like we were looking at with June, it's shell game. Uh-huh. And instead of that door being the incredible freedom, wisdom of no escape, that door becomes completely trapped. And we wake up, like you say, in a nightmare of, oh my God, I made a terrible decision.
Right, and that's not that's the content, not the process thing. That's looking at the content.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I said this out loud, because it feels like it's very helpful to kind of get that as an image of the shell game and the what's going on here.
Yeah, what's really so, you know? Because then it turns it into, it truly is all a game and we can't lose.
Uh-huh.
You know, if what we're doing is just that place of watching, just kind of on our toes, you know, the elite athlete of awareness practice, just like, you know, going, seeing, what? There's no way it can get us, because it's all a gift. If we're here, if we're awake, even if we go to sleep for whatever period of time, if we wake up, and we wake up into that kindness that was being talked about earlier, if we train ourselves that every time we wake up, there's just a big, welcome back, here we are.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it was very humbling because I haven't felt so melted down and so ensnared physically as I, and it kind of just gradually did it, and I was there, and I did, and it was just like, wow, so believable. And then even when I sort of knew what was going on, it was just so, I was so deep in it that this morning I'm just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, wow, burn through that one.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I was thinking, whew, you know, gotta watch.
Because it is, there's another shell game, right?
Yeah.
There's the now watching, the elite athlete watching, and then there's the paranoid, like, God, don't get me. You know, so it's back on your heels or up on your toes, which are two completely different things.
Absolutely, that's another good image. Mm-hmm. Is this going to, this goes on the... We can get this, huh?
Yeah, we can get this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am just so grateful for commitments, like showing up a group, and as you were saying, it's so dangerous for ego.
Yeah.
And to come to group and to talk and the two previous shares and just that reminder. There's this process where it's sort of like there's something bothering me, and it's kind of like, I know that. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of like, there's some places for me to handle that, and we'll kind of do that later.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, I'm going to have you just kind of in a light clutch for your Sunday. You can go and do whatever you're going to do, but you're going to be...
But I'll have you.
Yeah, and there'll be a tension.
Uh-huh.
Not a deep suffering, but there's going to be a tension. You're okay with that, right?
And it sounds like that light touch is kind of key, because if it got too tight... then it might really get your attention enough for you to be unwilling for it.
Yep.
But that light touch, I mean, you can be willing for that.
Yeah, why? And the tension thing that's been going on is, it's so funny, just being here and seeing it now, is something that's actually always going on for me. I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, pretty much see everything through a lens of relationship.
Uh-huh.
And which is so fascinating to be at the monastery, because it's a totally different way of interacting with people.
Right.
And here come the projections, you know, in the privileged environment. And there's just this, like, you know, like, just all the old stuff, like, oh, I don't want to have bad feelings towards that person, or, oh, gosh, are they mad at me? You know, if you just don't do this, and actually, you know what I want to do? I want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. You know, there's just all this stuff.
Yeah.
And because it's the privileged environment, you don't act out any of that out.
Right.
So it's just all kind of like... spinning around me and not getting out is what I'm seeing.
And not getting out?
Until now.
So let me see if I'm tracking. So you're kind of seeing those projections, but until you start talking about it right now, you haven't really stepped back and seen, oh wait, that's just all a conversation that's going on and has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's recording and listening is so great. Until you get it out somewhere, I'm in the conversation as if that's actually occurring.
Right.
And I actually have had these interactions where it's like, you know, you disidentify, you have, you know, you're in the community and in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then all those sort of projections, because I project this as, it's really clear there's a heart connection in group.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you step out of group or whatever, I'm in my hermitage,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so great because this is exactly what happens in life outside the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Where often when I'm with people, it's fine. And then when I go back to my house and there's a conversation with conditioning, all of a sudden I have all kinds of problems with that person.
Right. And these imaginary conversations happen with that person.
Yeah,
and
there's a little imaginary them and the imaginary me talking.
And it reminds me of, you know, that movie that came out a while back, What the Bleep, or all that neuroscience that's been done where the brain can't tell the difference between, you know, what actually a conversation with an actual external person versus essentially that conversation, that fantasy that's happening in the mind. And then all that stuff that's happening in the mind, to the whole system, it's as if it actually is happening. And that's how that karma gets cemented in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny because there was somebody going, no, I don't want to have that here. It's like, I want to keep this idealized version of folks who live at the monastery.
Yeah.
And then it's like, are you kidding? This is the perfect place for this to happen.
And
of course it's happening. You
have to. How else am I going to train?
Exactly. And so there's a lot of gratitude. And then the other funny thing I was just noticing, well, I noticed yesterday, but somebody, you were talking about putting recordings on shuffle, and like I think the words were like lines up this curriculum, and so I actually hadn't done that for a really long time as well, and I put it on the other day, and this recording came up. It was on a conference call, and it was talking about communication, and so I was listening to it while I was doing something outside, and it's like, oh, this is too long. I want things to keep changing, so I skipped over it. And then I have no idea how, but the next day the same one came on.
Mike was like, you're not skipping this one.
But it was like, I was there for it. Like, wow, how is that possible?
Yeah.
What was this again? What was this recording again? I wanted? And then it was like, oh my gosh, it's speaking to no internal conversations.
Yeah.
You know, getting everything out and learning to communicate like an adult.
Yeah.
You know, own your projections.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use I statements, and because there is so much fear that gets caught up in that, in like, I can't, let's just not bother with that. You know, so basically, so self-hate can just continue to suck my energy.
Yeah.
Even though it's always been my experience, once things get out there, in the end, it's always better.
Yes.
You know, just like right now.
Yeah. Well, and it reminds me a lot, actually, of that conversation we were just having with Cameron, in the sense of, let's see how to say it, that always in the end it's better when it gets out there, but we have to keep walking those steps, because often as we, okay, so like there's something going on and I get it, there's an insight, I need to communicate this, but there's resistance to that. So maybe I start towards communicating. I'm probably going to have to go through some painful, difficult, you know, awkward, conditioning, resisting kind of steps. But to be willing to keep going and not stop in those first few stages where it feels like, you know, it's kind of shaky and it doesn't feel good. And
well, and it's that, then there's the identity with this young person who's just, you know, the scheme was in my family operated this way, just be quiet, like, you know, kind of keep your head down and it'll be better than getting it out, and it'll probably go away at some point. And that part about you said keep going, I'm hearing, and now, leaving this group all day long, here, because that's great that I had it out. That doesn't mean go take a nap with conditioning. You know?
Exactly, keep going.
Because it's going to come, it's not going to go away.
Keep going.
So.
Regardless of how difficult it gets,
yeah.
And I, you know, we talk about that all the time, but it's such a trap that we get talked into looking at either how I feel or how I'm doing as two big places to get pulled off track. So I get it that I need to communicate, and I begin to communicate. And the way that conditioning wants to shut that down is, yeah, but it's not feeling better. Like I was supposed to, I was supposed to feel better, or, you know, how am I really doing? Well, you're not doing too much. You're not really communicating. But to completely ignore that and just keep walking the steps, again, as Cameron was talking about. So we make whatever decision that is, and to keep going, not look back behind our shoulder. Is this working? Was this a good decision? Am I getting where I wanted to get?
Yeah.
Am I getting what I want? Am I?
Yes. Yeah, every time I'm asking, how am I doing, which is just an insatiable question.
Yeah.
We know that's turning the conditioning. And you're going to get the same answer.
Exactly.
Or terrible, or it's going to be something not good.
Occasionally it will say, pretty good.
Yeah, just to keep you on the line.
Just to keep the wheel moving around.
Yeah, it's funny. I just had that parallel process in meditation where I was like, wow, I'm not feeling how I don't want to be here. If I wasn't in this group, I'd leave. Did it, and I was like, just breathing, come back to the breath. And by the time that bell rang at the end of 30 minutes, I felt so much gratitude for staying with the sit all the way through. That was, I mean, as soon as the bell went, I was like, thank you, God, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know that process.
Yeah.
I just did it.
exactly. And the joy, that sort of foundational, unconditional, you know, even subtle joy that I project you're talking about, of just going up against it in those simple ways.
Yeah.
It's talking us into whatever, dissatisfaction, got to get out of here, you know, made the wrong decision, yeah, whatever it is, and just sitting still, literally or metaphorically. And the joy of that, that we can actually do that, and we can just keep practicing, yeah, that again and again and again.
That joy is happening right now. This conversation is that process.
Yeah.
I don't have to be afraid. Yeah. I can talk about it.
Yeah.
I can put it out in the open. I can take one step and then another step. It's happening right now.
Exactly.
And it's exciting.
It's really,
you know,
exciting.
I don't have to live that life that it said I had to,
yeah,
which is, you know, basically just kind of stay small and maybe you won't, da da da, and once, yeah, in a while I'll jump in there. And,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff that it set up for me, it's all completely made up.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a huge field for us to on the other side of all that.
Exactly. Yeah. And to get it, that there will be times where we move through it like that, mm-hmm, and there'll be, yeah, other times where the snap is a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, that, I'm reminded of that quote of, everything turns out in the end. If it isn't turning out, it's not the end. You know?
Yeah.
And to just, so when we're in the middle of whatever it is, well, I guess it's not the end. Yeah. We're still moving through it.
Which is fine. Because,
which is fine.
You know, again, when we're staying in the moment, there's plenty of willingness,
exactly,
and there's plenty of support with whatever's here.
Yeah, whatever's here. Mm-hmm. Whatever's here. It's back to the, mm-hmm, reading we had a few Tuesdays ago. You know, we've always handled it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
ego wants us to think handling it is, oh, perfectly graceful and, you know, calm, yeah, and, quote, peaceful all the time. But handling it can look a lot of different ways. It can look like everything. But we always are. We're always, mm-hmm, adequate to it.
Yeah, that kind of being equal to your life, that process is the outcome.
Yes.
There isn't, I mean, as we say all the time, there's not an end. There's not like, sure, I get through these relationship issues and then I just kick back and go, oh, I've got it all figured out,
exactly,
with relationships.
Yeah.
It's a journey and it's joyful, as you were saying, yeah, the process is one of,
yeah,
freedom and joy and seeing one as equal to his own life, and that's, man, that is a blessing.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really
is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I've been, over the last few weeks, looking at a process that's very, has a lot of elements of what we've been talking about this morning,
mm-hmm,
and it's related to the process of saying yes to whatever life offers,
mm-hmm,
and I really just decided to take that on and to say yes to what comes up, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, there's a whole string of little things that came up and I'd say, well, yeah, I can do that,
mm-hmm,
I can do that, and, you know, and as soon as I would say the yes, there would be a little bit of a, mm, you know, but they weren't big, and I just,
mm-hmm,
went ahead and it's all fine, and,
mm-hmm.
But there was another one that was a bit of a more of a bigger yes,
mm-hmm,
to something that would be a commitment to something longer term,
mm-hmm,
and what I said as I took it on was just, well, I'm going to say yes to the process,
mm-hmm,
of leading into this thing, and I'll just use that to see what,
mm-hmm,
is so at each step. And so I kept going along each step, said, well, yeah, okay, take the next one and take the next one, and then it kind of got down to the, okay, now is it going to be actually a yes, I'm going to do this thing or not,
mm-hmm,
and then it got trickier, you know, then it was like there was a much bigger, well, I don't know,
mm-hmm,
and I've been looking a lot at that, it gave me the opportunity to look a lot at the various voices,
mm-hmm,
and what finally, you know, and it was one of those just, oh, should I or shouldn't I? And there's a whole lot of conversation about it, and that was making me suspicious,
mm-hmm,
right away, the fact that there was all of this conversation going on. And,
mm-hmm,
what, finally, one day I was vacuuming, and this just voice came in that just said, not now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's really clear.
Mm-hmm.
Not now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so helpful because, and there really wasn't any urgency. It,
mm-hmm,
wasn't something where if I didn't say yes now, I could never say yes again.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, it gave me a chance to look then at it. It got me enough out of having to do something,
mm-hmm,
that I was able to better see what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that there was a way in which conditioning had taken over the yes process. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to do this because mm-hmm. this will take you to the step you need to go to. Mm-hmm. This will be good for you. Mm-hmm. This will give you the experience you need to have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny that once I said, not now, I began to have the experience it wanted me to have in mm-hmm. everything else that I was doing. But it wanted to present it as, this is your one opportunity mm-hmm. to go up against me
right.
and come out ahead.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, and I'm, and it's still not that, I mean, it might be some truth in that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it just, it was too much of a case. Uh-huh. That it was presenting.
Yeah, that will, if it's more than two sentences.
Yeah, yeah, it was much more than two sentences. It was a, you know, it was a program.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yeah, again, mixing up the process for the content.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That if saying yes is a process in the moment, then it's going to get us to, if I say yes, I'm going to get what I want, or I'm going to be the person I should be, or right. whatever it is.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and and it's just you know, it's still a place where I'm still looking at it, mm-hmm. you know, because the other places where I've said yes, there wasn't any conversation. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any conversation, there wasn't any regret, there wasn't any should I, shouldn't I, should I have, shouldn't I have. Mm-hmm. And this one, that there was, and yet, you know, it's not quite gone away. It wasn't like that not now was the end of the looking.
Right, right, because that's another good point that, you know, so there can be sort of a, let's see, people will talk about it as sort of a, can't think of another term, but sort of magical thinking that, you know, mm-hmm. you just have one of those decisions and there's no voices about it and you just know it's the right thing and that somehow, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those decisions where we can just make a decision and then nothing's going on about it. And that's how you know it's the right thing. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, you right.
Know,
right.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes go back to that one time I think I've told the story here before where I was trying to make a decision about some jobs and mm-hmm. and I had a time frame over mm-hmm. a weekend where mm-hmm. one of them needed an answer mm-hmm. and I did not know. You know, I was in, oh, maybe this and maybe that. And I mean, I was in that nightmare place, mm-hmm. you know? And I went for this jog, and as I'm doing this jog, this voice clearly says, I want you to do what's most loving for you. Mm-hmm. Just started to sob, you know, and it was like, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I heard that, I knew which one I wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I had not... Yeah. And the minute before, I couldn't have told you.
Yeah.
But when I was given that permission
yeah.
to do the thing that was most loving for me, I knew. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. so, but I do think now that then is sort of the standard.
Right, exactly.
That's right. So unless yeah. that happens,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and when you were talking about that, the old, you know, coin toss came
yeah.
up. I mean,
right.
that's like
talking
about
right.
the PhD.
That's right.
If you want to drive it crazy, you
that's
know,
right.
next time we're in one of those.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, there I am, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it a not now? Is
yeah.
it, well, I don't know. Let's flip the coin.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
fine.
What I'll do. Yeah. yeah.
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh, just get to watch everything around that. And then the workshop in that is knowing that I can be okay in whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, something came in as you were saying that was... I don't know, something around, I'm looking back at this particular decision that I've just been looking at lately mm-hmm. and how the not now came up and just looking at, wondering if there's something in that not now giving the space to look at it in a way that I couldn't when it was a yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just... what I guess I'm trying to say is that I think I sort of saw the not now as, okay, I don't need to look at that anymore.
Uh-huh.
But looking at it now as the not now is just a place to look that was different from when I was looking before.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds like kind of a you know, we were talking earlier about how conditioning wants to get to that comfortable place mm-hmm. so that we can go to sleep.
Right.
But being committed to just mm-hmm. staying
well,
in here.
Okay. Just, what, now
if
what?
If there's anything else to right. say about it, I'm available.
That's exactly it. Now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. that's
not even needing to think about it right. or keep, you know, but just.
That's right.
I'm available.
That's right. Because that's another way to say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still in the
yeah.
game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wisdom of no escape had dropped in for me too this yeah. week. It's wonderful to hear it this morning and just have that.
That Sangha experience.
That Sangha experience, yeah. Just sitting in the whole mind. And,
exactly. Yeah.
I think I'd approached it before as having to do with structures and commitments, like putting oneself in a monastic community. Mm-hmm. There's a wisdom of no escape in that. And then within mm-hmm. that, there are there's the schedule and coming mm-hmm. to sit for 30 minutes together. And this week it became the wisdom of no escape of being here. Mm-hmm. In just a...
Not escaping into unconsciousness, that kind of thing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With no... There weren't any kind of structures to support it other than a willingness that arose mm-hmm. not to escape mm-hmm. somehow.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It was the mentor's encouragement mm-hmm. that we're not mm-hmm. going anywhere
yeah.
with this. And it was around some really vicious self-hate mm-hmm. that was... around mm-hmm. and I noticed there'd been a couple of days of distracting from it mm-hmm. and a kind of just staying up a little bit later or mm-hmm. you know this kind of small yeah. what were being spun as mm-hmm. small bits of neglect mm-hmm. the human mm-hmm. with a bit of a not that big a deal
right.
feel around it
right.
as the human was just getting pulled mm-hmm. deeper and deeper and deeper mm-hmm. into this self-hate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which came first, which way around it was, but there was this most astounding email class response, both from the person writing in and from the guide mm-hmm. that was just mm-hmm. perfect. So the person had written in to say, the 48 hours went by, I didn't do the assignment, mm-hmm. no big deal, I let it go. And the guide said, well, actually, it is a big deal. You bailed on the human, mm-hmm. you gave the human over to egocentric karmic conditioning mm-hmm. self-hate. It is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And but is all hope lost? No. There's still time to do the assignment. Mm-hmm. I want you to do the assignment and there's still time to write in and tell me what you saw. Mm-hmm. It's important and I know you can do it. And I just get chills again at that, because I think there was a slight sort of pseudo-Zen acceptance of, we'll see what we see with this mm-hmm. vicious self-hate, we'll see what we see with this staying up slightly later, we'll see, you know, a kind of, just a perversion of it's all for me to uh-huh. see, you uh-huh. know.
So almost like a little bit more of that back on the heels instead of up on the toes?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. And so one evening I sat down and got on the recorder and the mentor said, the wisdom of no escape, we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Just keep talking to me, keep talking mm-hmm. to me. And what I got to see was that there'd been like a big life response to something mm-hmm. that had happened, a lot of energy, and there was a self-hate connection there, like a circuit, you know, of, it was, you know, going into conversations of judgment shouldn't be judging, mm-hmm. Anger shouldn't be angry, mm-hmm. and isolating. Mm-hmm. And what the mentor said was, you know, just keep talking to me. I'm not confused about what you are. There's nothing to sense and nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And I got to see how much censoring there'd be, even mm-hmm. even with the recorder, or even mm-hmm. sort of just...
Internally,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And that once I'd really listened to the mentor and was in that wisdom of no escape, that there was no longer any fear. Mm-hmm. Because... there was no longer any that ability to be controlled by, well, what if we say something that's awful? What if we, you know, we're not supposed to be thinking this, we're not supposed to be feeling this? And all the pseudo Zen of, well, that concept of, the conceptual getting it, that that's not me, was being used, you know, again, you know, all part of that kind of censoring. And just to get it all out and get to that place of not frightened and not escaping was just,
It's extraordinary because in the censoring, there is a belief that it's me, right? Because why else would I censor it?
Exactly.
There's no other reason to censor it.
Yeah.
And then in not censoring it, that's the place where we actually have a shot at seeing, well, it isn't. And of course, that's the place that leads to the lack of fear.
Right.
Because it's such a blackmail place, isn't it? In that other place, like, you know, I mean, just all the pseudo-Zen stuff. Don't take it personally. It's not you. I mean, why are you feeling those things? Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, whatever it says for each of us, you know, just the right phrases it knows to just get us. But then to get to that place that I project you're talking about, look, this is what's going on. I mean, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be fine because it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
And how much even fun that is and openness to that, you know, fun might not be quite the right word, but in the sense of just open and like, oh, finally, just letting it down. Let's start with where we are.
Yeah.
And that's that mentor place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just keep talking to me.
Yeah.
Just keep talking to me. Because it's all right. I'm not confused.
Exactly.
You know, it's like the mentor is big enough to contain all of it. And then the human can just lay it all out there. And then together we can see, well, that's not me. This doesn't mean anything about me. It's not wrong. It's not bad. You don't need to not try, you know, try not to feel that way. Any of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And part of the miracle too was that, so there'd been this story of, you know, you have no energy, all of that kind of.
You have no energy.
Or even, you know, I'm just I feel like I don't have any energy, and the self hater in bed, and when we listened back to that recording, there was just the hearing the life force in the voice, and just the lives. I mean, you were talking about a
specific
group,
where
there's just such love for the person making that,
and hearing the lie in the recording. Like, so there's, I mean, if I'm following what you're saying, there's that experience of making the recording, and you know, there's just no life energy, and really feeling like that's true. It's true.
Right.
There's no life energy, but then listening back to it, and hearing the life energy in the voice, and realizing, wow, that's actually completely not true.
Yeah.
I can see that this person is believing that, but I can hear the life force in her voice.
Exactly.
And how amazing that is to see that lie in action.
Yeah, and just that, it really, it's that just, I mean, that astounding simplicity and life-saving quality of recording and listening, literally life-saving, that you can, the only way we can get to that experience of the life force, it from that identification with self-hate, is listening back and hearing it and seeing the lie. Because the person who's recording kind of has an eye on the self-hate, saying how awful she is and how she's exhausted. And then to like recover that life force by listening to it. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I just... I to go around and just pop earbuds into the ears of every person on the planet. The recording and listening piece covering my dear again.
Yeah.
Just have that in the back pocket.
Exactly. Walking along listening. What are you listening to?
So yeah, just amazing the word.
So, a few minutes ago I had that no energy, I don't have any energy. It's low energy. And believed it for a bit. Mm-hmm. And ever since I had, I was sick for a couple of weeks, that triggers a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm to the point where it's habit, where it's just saying that it's not true. It might never have been true. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at who looks to see whether the energy is high or low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when they find an answer, what does that mean anything?
Exactly.
And believing that I have low energy is has a whole set of behaviors that go with it. And it's indulgence. It's a license for indulgence. And as we know, the antidote for indulgence is generosity. So,
that's so interesting.
So somehow, somewhere, someone is getting talked into this kind of mean, narrow existence.
Yeah.
And thinking of it and believing that it is this kind of narrow, tight place is actually a kind of taking care of the human who feels low energy place.
Uh-huh.
And it's really a, it's really a trap.
Yeah. So let me see if this is part of what you're saying, that it almost sounds from what you're describing like there's a conditioned connection, a belief that in order for the human to, well, okay, so if indulgence and generosity get confused, so the human isn't allowed to be, to receive, let's say, to be given to receive generosity, that indulgence is the conditioned version of that, and that in order to have anything that's put in that world of indulgence, she has to be low energy?
I don't know if that's so what's happening. Just currently is low. Is what is low. I don't know if that's like, you know, like a big cycle in my life, but it certainly is lately.
So what's happening now is there is low energy. Then there's a meaning that's getting attached to that.
Well, there's someone saying it's low energy, and it's not being tested out very much. Let me see if I can dance.
Could I run? Could I? Yeah.
Right. And so, the low energy, the belief that the sensations in the body mean a low energy, and I'm just right on the edge of depression. But what that means is that taking care of this person means keeping everything small and calm and very, very much a nine sit on the couch kind of a place. And then it all triggers, well, it's the weather. So it's just God, it just comes in with all of these reasons why this is you're actually you're being generous and kind with yourself. And I just think it's all a scam.
Especially about you, it's kind of a dead giveaway, isn't it? You're being very kind and generous with yourself.
Because the other side of it is what I was talking about earlier. You're not exercising what you should. You are spending too much time sitting here reading.
Yeah.
You are whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It makes stuff up.
Yeah.
And then that other track, what you should be doing is,
yeah.
And it's just all folds back in on itself.
Yeah.
Being a trapped place where there isn't any, there's no light in it.
There's no light in it. Yeah. There's no kindness in it. It's so easy to see how the person gets hit back and forth across the net of that duality. Because no wonder, if it's all like, come on, you're not exercising the way you should, and you're not being the person you should, and you're not da-da-da-da-da-da-da, how easy it would be for the human to, you know, want to go to the couch and get under a blanket and just like, get away from all of that, you know. It seems like life, oh, it's, you know, it's the weather, it's, I'm sick, I'm whatever. It seems like we're fleeing that, but what we're fleeing is that, those voices, the tyranny of that system.
So, all that's required to affect a change is to want to.
Yeah, get here. Be unwilling for the conversation. Be willing for kindness for the human. You know, because that's that, what I hear in that, all we have to do to affect the change is to want it and to get really clear about what that want, in a sense, is. Because if we get talked into the want is of making the human a better person, self-improvement, but that isn't what we truly want, I project. What we truly want is the acceptance, the freedom, the peace, the well-being, the stillness that comes from just being here, just placing the human in life's care, not letting it be controlled by the voices, not, you know, kind of stewarding it to put the attention here with life and not on the conversation. And getting at that life, in my experience, life provides us with everything, you know? And if we just, like we were talking about with Cameron, just pay that exquisite attention, not in that paranoid way, but just that really, it's just like we teach meditation. It's a completely relaxed yet alert posture. It's a signal to the whole system that we're here. We're not tense, but we're here. And we're available to life's guidance. And sometimes that looks like getting up and taking a nice brisk walk, and sometimes that looks like being quiet, sitting down, and sometimes, you know, it's everything. It's everything, and there are no rules, and there's no doing it wrong, because as long as we have our attention in that relaxed, alert, here place in everything we're doing, if there's something that isn't actually caring for the human, it's not going to be too far down the road that we realize that. And then we just make a little course correction. I read something recently where, you know, the shuttles, space shuttles that go to the moon are off track something like 97% of the time. that is a constant course correction, course correction, course correction, course correction, course correction, little threat, little threat, little threat, little threat, little threat. And the vast majority of the time, it's quote off course. Mm-hmm. But that's part of it. That is the course correction, course correction. And it's not wrong how it gets there. It gets there. That's part of it. Thank you.